Hi, I'm Jamie Ananda McConaughey. Welcome to the Tantric Life podcast, where we explore all things Tantra as a way of living a balanced life, integrating health, sex, love, and spirituality for deeper inner peace. Hello, divine friends. Thank you for joining me for another interesting conversation about Tantra. And today we're going to be talking about the goal of Tantra. What is the goal of Tantra? But first, before we get into the topic, just a quick mention. If you'd like to connect with me, you can get hold of me at my website, thetantriclife.com, or on my Facebook page, The Tantric Life. Or you can send me an email direct to jamie@thetantriclife.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think about this episode and if you want to share any other thoughts or ideas or questions. And also, quick mention about the project that I'm working on. I'm developing an online platform for Tantra dating and Tantra events. It's currently a website, and the intention is to create an app for it if the project goes well. And it's a great platform where you can meet other people who are interested in Tantra in your local area and around the world. And you can also find local Tantra events that you might be interested to go to. And if you are somebody who organizes Tantra events, this is also a great place for you to publish and promote your Tantra event. So if you're interested in this project, I'm still looking for volunteers to help me test this. So if you would like to take part, you can find all the details on my Facebook page, The Tantric Life. Great, and with that out of the way, let's dive into today's topic. So, the goal of Tantra. What is the goal of Tantra? Today, you know, I think modern Tantra, it seems to address so many aspects and issues of life. And Tantra is, I think Tantra is great for that. I mean, it addresses many, many different things about modern living, you know, some of the difficulties and challenges we have about living in a human body. And for a beginner, it may not be clear what is the purpose of Tantra. Is the purpose of Tantra to improve your sex life? To experience more sexual pleasure? Is the goal of Tantra to improve the quality of your relationships, to have more deeper and more meaningful relationships? Is it about healing yourself, emotional, physical, psychological healing? Is the goal of Tantra about connection with others? Maybe it's about connection with yourself, or getting in touch with your feelings, getting in touch with your body. Is the goal of Tantra to feel more whole, more integrated? Or is it about having more freedom? Freedom from guilt about sexuality. Freedom from conditioning of traumatic experiences. You know, all these aspects, all these things, Tantra deals with all of these things. And they are all very positive, beneficial, very valid intentions for practicing Tantra. Well, this is mostly from modern day Tantra, or Neo Tantra, as it's often referred to. This kind of Tantra has a very therapeutic aspect to it. On the other hand, strict traditionalists of classical Tantra, they may say something different. They may say that the goal of Tantra is not about better sex, better relationships, or therapeutic healing, anything like that. They may say that the goal of Tantra is about awakening to a God consciousness, divine consciousness. So when we look at the traditional texts, at the origins of Tantra, we find that the tantric practices generally seem to be intended to cultivate a heightened state of awareness. The great Tantra scholar and guru, Abhinavagupta, who lived around 1,000 years ago, he wrote extensively about the goal of Tantra. And in his work entitled the Tantra Sara, which is the translation is the essence of the Tantras, he talks about how the goal of tantric practice is to cultivate this state of what he describes as discernment or accurate discernment. So according to Abhinavagupta, accurate discernment means being able to realize something that actually exists but appears not to because it's imperceptible. So he's referring to like the awareness of our true essence, of our true nature, which is this blissful, eternal, joyful consciousness. And it's very subtle and very imperceptible, so we don't think it exists. But through tantric practice, we cultivate this ability, this accurate discernment, where we can discern, we can become aware of something that exists but appears not to exist. So this accurate discernment leads to what Abhinavagupta describes as Shuddha Vidya, which is pure wisdom. And this pure wisdom is the knowledge of our true essence. It's just this pure awareness of our divine essence. And then if we look at the other, or one of the other well-known early tantric texts, the Vijnana Bhairava Tantra, which was from around the year 850 CE. It's a very poetic text. It's a conversation between Shiva and Shakti, between God in the male aspect of Shiva and Shakti, the female aspect, the goddess. And in the opening verse, the very beginning of the text, the goddess Shakti, Bhairavi, she asks Shiva, or Bhairava, she asks, what is the true nature of reality? And then Shiva replies, bravo, dear one, you have asked about the essence of Tantra. So this great text of tantric practice, you know, it opens with that question, what is the true nature of reality? And then the rest of the text continues to describe the concepts and the practices and techniques to be able to know the answer to this question, to be able to perceive and awaken to the true nature of reality. So when we look at the tantric texts, we see that the emphasis is on awakening our awareness of our true essence, our divine nature. And in fact, you know, Tantra is, after all, a yoga. And the goal of yoga, in general, is widely understood to be union with the divine. That's what the word yoga means. It means union. Union with your essence, union with the divine, union with the universe, union with universal consciousness. So, yeah, a strict traditionalist of classical Tantra may have this view that the goal of Tantra is this. It's to awaken to the awareness of your divinity rather than trying to heal your sexual traumas. However, that's not the end of the story. If we continue to explore what is mentioned in some of these tantric texts, and here I draw on the work from Christopher Wallace, whose spiritual name is Harish. Here he talks about someone called Ramakanta. And Ramakanta was a tantric scholar and guru, again from around about 1,000 years ago. And he wrote about how there are two goals of tantric practice, according to him, as a higher goal and a lower goal. Christopher Wallace suggests that Ramakanta was talking about the higher goal as meaning the goal for liberation, which, as we mentioned in the previous references, this is that goal of awakening our awareness to our divine essence. And on the other hand, Ramakanta also acknowledges that there's a lower goal with tantric practice, and that is the goal of worldly enjoyment, material prosperity, sensual feelings and physical well-being, emotional well-being. Yeah, so when we look at the teachings from Ramakanta, we see that both of these goals are embraced in Tantra. And as Christopher Wallace points out, this is very interesting because this is something which sets Tantra apart from many, if not most, other spiritual traditions and religions, where, you know, the many spiritual traditions, even within yoga, see spiritual practice, the goal being, you know, enlightenment, divine consciousness, becoming one with God, or ascending to heaven, or whatever the religion teaches, whilst usually they kind of negate the physical desires, sexual urges and pleasures of the world, citing that that's a block or an obstacle or a hindrance to spiritual liberation. So what we're seeing here in these teachings from Ramakanta is that both of these aspects of life are goals of practice in Tantra. And Ramakanta says that if the practice is directed only to the lower goal, that is, if you're only practicing for sexual pleasure, for sensuality, for the pleasures of the world, for the benefits of your body, your human nature, if that's your only goal, then technically it's not Tantra. But if both goals are incorporated, so both on one hand, you are trying to embrace more pleasure, more physical and sensual healing and wholeness, but it's combined with the predominant or the main goal, which is to awaken that divine awareness, then that can be said to be Tantra. So for me, I find that interesting because that's not just a kind of a strict, austere approach that wants to deny the benefits that Tantra has for our sexual and emotional well-being. It's actually incorporating, it's embracing the benefits of sexual healing, exploration of deeper pleasure, and these are part of that secondary goal of Tantra, combined with the goal of awakening our divine consciousness. And then it's getting more interesting now. Here we find in the Recognition Sutras, which is another tantric text written about 1,000 years ago. It was written by a tantric practitioner, scholar, I don't know if I'm going to get his name pronounced correctly, Rajanaka Kshemaraja. I don't know if I can pronounce that. But he teaches that the goal of Tantra is embodied liberation. This is again translated from the Sanskrit by Christopher Wallace. So according to Kshemaraja, a tantrika, a person who's practicing Tantra, strives to achieve this state of liberation, or the state of Jivan Mukti in Sanskrit. And Jivan Mukti is a continuous, unbroken state of liberation, of awareness. It's a state of pure awareness whilst still being in the body and still living the full range of human experience. And this is why Christopher Wallace translates Jivan Mukti to mean embodied liberation. I love that because I think that's so relevant for today, for today's modern life and modern culture. Embodied liberation. You know, I really think that's what the world is kind of moving towards in its spiritual growth. You know, we see more and more teachings about being embodied and at the same time striving for liberation. So, you know, embracing your body with all of its hang-ups and quirks, with all of traumas and wounds, and at the same time still cultivating that awareness that leads us to liberation. So on the one hand, with modern Tantra or Neo-Tantra, we see a lot of emphasis or purpose directed towards sensuality, towards healing of trauma, healing of physical and emotional well-being. And I think that's very relevant for today's society. You know, in the last, maybe the last century or so, sexuality has become so demonized, mainly by religion, but also by sort of patriarchal society. And many people have kind of grown up or been conditioned in very unhealthy sexual beliefs, beliefs about their body, beliefs about themselves, their self-esteem. So I really feel that modern Tantra and Neo-Tantra, it does really well to give us that possibility of healing on those levels, sexual, physical, emotional, mental. And when this is incorporated with classical Tantra, the teachings of classical Tantra, you know, the emphasis and goal directed towards embodied liberation, of awakening our awareness of our divine nature. This whole structure of Tantra provides us with this fantastic means of spiritual growth, like a very well-rounded, well-balanced, almost like a complete system for spiritual growth and evolution to happen both within yourself as an individual and for society as a whole. So in a way, perhaps that goal of Neo-Tantra, modern Tantra, that can be almost as a support and a complement to the other goal, which is the goal more of classical Tantra, that is to do with awakening divine consciousness. And I feel like healing ourselves, healing our traumas, our wounds, becoming more integrated and more balanced emotionally, physically, sexually. I don't see that doesn't have to be like a prerequisite to liberation. It's not that I don't think we have to become heal and whole and perfect before we can experience spiritual liberation, an awakening of divine consciousness. I actually think they happen in parallel. You know, I think as long as we are in a human body, we're never really going to be perfect. We're never going to be free of wounds, free of traumas. Maybe we can kind of heal and improve and kind of and develop and grow. But as long as we're human, as long as we have a body and we have emotions and thoughts and relationships, we're always going to struggle with our wounds, our past traumas. They're always going to be there with us, you know. But at the same time, we still have the capacity available to us of spiritual awakening. So I think it's a parallel process. On one hand, we are healing and embracing more of our human nature. And at the same time, we can go deeper into that depths of and the bliss and joy of divine expansion, expanded consciousness, awareness of our true nature. I think they can happen simultaneously. And I think that's what Ramakanta is getting at here in his text from 1,000 years ago, talking about those two goals of Tantra. You know, I think they kind of happen in conjunction with one another. So my personal experience on this path, when I was in the monastery, back then I was a Hindu Swami. Swami Ananda was my name. My guru taught me that the ultimate goal of life and spiritual practice, any spiritual practice, was essentially liberation. It's essentially the goal of life is to become one with your true nature, your true essence. And it's not even to become one, because we are already one, but we're just not aware of it. We have many things which are obscuring the connection that we have with God, with the divine. You know, we have our beliefs, we have our conditioning, we have our karma, we have our traumas, our wounds, and that's all part of the human nature, of the human experience. It's all part of the reason why we're here, to learn to deal with and handle being a human. And an essential part of this process is to awaken Kundalini, to awaken Shakti. Shakti is the divine feminine, but she is also the powerful force of creation, the creative force behind the universe. And when Shakti is manifesting in you, in your body, in your being and in your life, we can call it Kundalini. And this energy is a strong, powerful force. It gives us energy, it gives us strength, it gives us focus, and it gives us passion, gives us inspiration. And we need that in order to be able to grow and awaken our spiritual consciousness. Without that, we can lapse into slothfulness, laziness, despondency, depression, despair, sadness. But when we awaken Kundalini, when we awaken Shakti within us, we get energy, we get power, we get vibrancy, we get life, we get inspiration and motivation. And that energy will enable us to do our spiritual practice. It will enable us to heal and our wounds, to learn from our mistakes, to apply all the teachings and knowledge that we find as we go along, and to apply that knowledge and wisdom to grow, to expand in our consciousness, to expand in our love, to expand in our capacity to connect with ourselves, to connect with our fellow humans, to connect with the universe. And when you look at the teachings of tantric practices, you'll see that generally they are practices which focus on harnessing that energy. They harness your life force. They awaken Kundalini. And tantric practices use the energies of your body, your sensuality, your desire, your emotions, and your mind to awaken Shakti within you. And I think that other goal, that secondary goal of Tantra that we mentioned about enjoying more physical pleasure, more material prosperity, more sensual integration, is about awakening Shakti within you and bringing Shakti into your life, into your body, into your senses, into your relationships, into your work, into your business. And with Shakti awakened within you, you're able to merge with your ultimate essence, which is that primal, blissful state, a non-duality state of consciousness, where you realize and you know that you are pure awareness. You are awareness all the time, even through emotions, through anger, through desires, through sexual feelings, through intellectual inspirations. All the time, the one thing which is constant throughout all this experience is your awareness, just pure awareness. And through my own practice, throughout the years, I've learned and I continue to learn how powerful it can be to harness all of the energies of the human being, all of your energies from every level of our human nature, the physical, the emotional, the mental, the pranic, and direct it towards the awakening of that spiritual consciousness. So for me personally, I think the goal of Tantra, I agree with the 1,000-year-old view of Ramakanta, that Tantra embraces two goals. One goal, which is sort of a sub-goal of human pleasure, of well-being, of integration of our human nature, and the other goal, sort of higher goal, of awakening to your awareness of your true divine nature. So let's move on now, and I have a little tantric fun fact for you today. We're talking about the goal of Tantra, kind of talking about really what Tantra means. And I found it interesting to learn about the word Tantra. What does the word Tantra mean? If you Google this, you'll most likely find the typical versions that many modern day teachers use, that the word Tantra, the Sanskrit word, translates to mean something. It could be technique, it could be technology, like spiritual technology. It can also mean the loom which weaves. And it can also mean to expand and to liberate. Those are usually the kind of translations you find from modern day teachers. However, according to Christopher Wallace, Harish, you know, he's an amazing Sanskrit scholar and Tantra practitioner. The Sanskrit word Tantra originally meant simply a system of spiritual practice articulated within a specific sacred text. So that's why, you know, the texts are called the Tantras. And when we talk about a Tantra, we're referring to a system of spiritual practice mentioned in a specific text. Harish has dedicated much of his life to studying the original Sanskrit texts. And he points out that, you know, although these modern translations of the word Tantra are indeed legitimate translations from Sanskrit, but this use of the word, the loom which weaves, and technique and technology, that use of the translation of the word Tantra is not actually found in the original texts. In his book, Tantra Illuminated, Harish refers to the early tantric text known as the Kamika Tantra. And here, in the context of this text, he explains that the Sanskrit root, tan, means the spreading of wisdom. And the other root, tra, means that which saves. So, in the context of these original texts, the word Tantra also meant the spreading of wisdom which saves. So there you go. What does Tantra really mean, the word? It means it's a teaching given in a specific text, and it also means the spreading of wisdom which saves. In any case, these modern day versions, which, as I said, they are correct translations from Sanskrit, they are very much in line with the spirit of Tantra, you know, even classical Tantra. So they are also valid interpretations of the word Tantra. And anyway, using all of this stuff as a reference, I've put together my own personal meaning of the word Tantra. So I see the word Tantra as meaning the weaving together of wisdom in order to expand and liberate. So that's the definition of the word Tantra that I like to use. All right, so wrapping up today's episode, we're going to finish off with a little bit of chanting. And today I'm chanting the Saraswati chant because I feel like this is related to the topic today. We're talking about awakening Shakti, awakening the power of Kundalini within you so that you can use that energy and vital forces to direct towards your spiritual awakening, right? So for me, Saraswati is a beautiful, beautiful aspect of God, of the Divine Mother, that she awakens in me, my Shakti. When I see her, I see images of her, and when I chant her, I feel like she's so beautiful, and I see her being very sensual, and that really awakens my Kundalini and my divine feminine and Shakti within me. So, yeah, that's just my personal relationship with this mantra. And you can listen along with this mantra and bring to mind an image of Saraswati and just focus on her while you're listening to this chant. Just see how beautiful she is. Feel that she is awakening inside of you. So thank you very much for listening to the end of this episode, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And I will be back again soon with some more interesting topics about Tantra. Take care. Om Ekadandaya Vidmahe Vakradundaya Dhimahi Tanno Tundi Prachodayat Om Gam Ganavatahe Namaha. Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sagandham Pushtavadhanam Purvarukam Abandhanat Mithya Mukshyam Amritat. Om Shivaya Namaha. Om Ganambakaya Vidmahe Mahatapaya Dhimahi Tanno Dughi Prachodayat Om Dundugahe Namaha. Om Aim Reem Sreem Kleem Chabandai Vichhe Chabandai Vichhe Chamandai Vichhe Om Mahapatrakaya Namaha. Om Karikaya Chivitmahi Sumasavasana Dhimahi Tanno Akura Prachodayat Om Mahapatrakaya Namaha. Om Narayanaya Vidmahe Vasudevaya Dhimahi Tanno Vishnu Prachodayat Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha. Om Mahalakshmi Chavitmahe Vishnu Patriya Dhimahi Tanno Lakshmi Prachodayat Om Mahalakshmi Namaha. Ya Kundanduta Shararahavala Ya Shupra Vastra Vruta Ya Veena Varadani Manitakara Ya Sveta Padmasana Ya Brahma Chuta Shankara Pravruti Pivyai Sada Vandita Samam Bhatu Saraswati Bhagavati Nishayatiya Paha. Om Shadananaya Vidmahe Shakti Hastaya Dhimahi Tanno Skanda Prachodayat Om Supramanaya Namaha. Om Bho Bhuvasvaha Tat Purushaya Vidmahe Mahadevaya Dhimahi Tanno Rudra Prachodayat Tat Purushaya Vidmahe Mahasenaya Dhimahi Tanna Shammukha Prachodayat. Om Tat Sat Harihi Kundanduta Shararahavala Ya вашу праве стравруто. Я віна вараданні мені такара, я світа падмасана, я брама чута шанкара, прабрутте вриттвяй садавандита. Самам бату сарасвати бхагавати, нишеша ятьяха паха. Shankara pravrutti vrittvyai sadavandita samam bhatu sarasvati bhagavati nishesha yatyapaha. Ya kundandutva sharahara havala ya shupravastra vruta Sveta Padmasana Ya Brahma Chuta Shankara Prabhutte Vrittvyai Sadavandita Samam Bhatu Sarasvati Bhagavati Nishesha Yatya Paha.